Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Bricado's Sandwich Shop, home of the best devil crabs in town. Yum! 5021 East Columbus Drive in Tampa, right next to Ybor City off of I-4. When you go by there, and I know you will, don't forget to try that deviled crab.
Go, Justin Kalowski!
This is a podcast I've been waiting to do for a long, long time. I think it's one you've been waiting to hear for a long, long time. So we can't force the issue. We just have to give to you what's dealt to me. And unfortunately, we haven't been dealt too many hot hands over the years. Boy, did that change. Fuck yes. This podcast will be not safe for word. It's Bucks Uncensored. iTunes, Podcast Addict, Podbean. Subscribe there. Or if you're listening on joebucksfan.com, you're a very, very wise individual. I'll talk a little bit on this podcast, but you know what? This podcast, it's mainly about you.
This is Lee out of Tampa. Extremely, extremely ecstatic. We got a quality win. We haven't had a quality win in, I don't know how many seasons. We're on the road to a loud and obnoxious Arrowhead Stadium. And what the hell was up with them doing the war chant? I knew once I heard the war chant going on in Arrowhead, I knew it was going down. I can't wait to get a word tomorrow and talk so much shit. I have so much shit to talk now. I finally feel proud of my team, proud to be a fan. I can finally talk shit and there be crickets for at least a moment or two before somebody has something stupid to respond to me with. But it feel damn good right now to get the win on the road over at Arrowhead. Haven't been 500 in a while. I forgot what that shit feels like. I can't believe I'm this happy just to be a 500 ball club after 11 games. I'm just insanely ecstatic and happy right now. Go motherfucking Bucks.
Woo! For the Cannons!
Ha ha ha! Bucks win.
So stupid. Now you can't blame the Chiefs and their fans for doing the war chant, right? I mean, they do it every game. But holy shit. Even Jameis Winston said after the game, thanking the Chiefs for doing that. So I asked the question, do we unite under our own chant? Has that been what has been missing inside Raymond James Stadium? That we don't have the war chant? Because not only did Jameis Winston go out there and light it up, I mean, he was as good as he's ever been. And we forget sometimes how young he is and what he did this week in typing out a letter and giving a letter to each and every one of his teammates talking about how grateful he is to play with his teammates and just showing ultimate leadership at 22, 23 years. I mean, he's so young. We forget this. We really, really do. I mean, it hit me tonight I record this on Sunday night, when they said Aaron Rodgers was 33, and I'm like, 33? That's 10 years from now for Jameis. 10 years. And he's showing this kind of leadership, and he did it during the week, and then he goes out and plays the way he did. Folks, you've got the ultimate leader, and if it takes us doing the fucking war chant inside Raymond James Stadium, I'm not a Seminole fan, but you know what? My team comes first. My NFL team, if I'm paying money to go there, then they come first. I mean, even Gator fan, if you're a Gator fan and a Bucks fan, okay, you can park your ego at the door for fucking 4 hours. I'm all in. I am all in on doing the war chant at Bucks games. If that's going to help Jameis Winston play that game that way and play, make Aguayo hit field goals literally right down the middle, no matter where he is on the field, and then have this after the game, oh.
This dude played his tail off today, and that's number 3, our quarterback.
Hey, I told you I was grateful for every one of y'all. You see how we play as a family. You see what we can do as a family. One team, one heart, it's all about us. But hey, I'm going to get this game ball back to Coach Carter. Let's break it down, baby. Hey, it's all about the family. If we stay together, man, the sky's the limit, all right? Family on 3. 1, 2, 3, family.
You know, I said a couple weeks ago, and the Bucks went through a stretch there of losing a few games, and you know, I was still a firm believer then. I'm still a firm believer now. I don't know. And I'm not rating on anyone's parade. Trust me, I'm as happy as any of you. And wait till you hear some of the voice memos we have. You're in for a treat on this podcast. But, you know, I'm also not naive to think they were going to win the Super Bowl this year. But, boy, oh, boy, when you ask guys to step up and be leaders, I really think that we're starting to see that. The Bears last week, the Chiefs, to me, in my opinion, the Bucks have just played 8 complete quarters in a row. I mean, when's the last time you can say that? I mean, there are games where they've won, but 2 full, complete games, offensively and defensively, I honestly can't remember the last time the organization has done that. And I think it's a testament to guys like Jameis Winston who are stepping up and just saying, you know what, fuck it, I'm taking over now. And again, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but some of that gets leaked out, like what we just heard and what Jameis Winston's doing and the type of leader he is. And that should make you excited as Buccaneer fans, because if he takes over that way and we start to get more and more of that, hell, we're going to get a lot more voice memos, kind of like this one from Kevin.
As you know, Justin, I've told you several times that I'm a child rights advocate. Well, before that, in a previous life, I used to work with developmentally delayed and emotionally disturbed children in the special ed environment. And I used to think, like from 2004 on, basically, that loving the Bucks was like working with developmentally delayed children. That it was like, you know, yeah, it was the small things, the minor victories, the progress that you hope to achieve. I no longer believe that. I believe that loving the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is a bit like dating a bipolar chick who's off her meds. When she's down, she's way down, and it will fuck with you. But when she is up, she fucks like a demon, Justin. She fucks like a demon. She will take you to the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. She will fuck your brain up. And that's exactly what the Bucks did. They fucked our brains up. But you know what? They fucking did it. Next weekend is now huge. Next weekend is now fucking massive. Let's hope they're taking their lisinopril. Let's hope they're taking their fucking Xanax. Let's hope they're taking all their benzodiazepines, all their antidepressants, every motherfucking thing, all their antipsychotics. Exactly right. Let's hope they're taking all that shit, because we're going to need every fucking last minute of it. Every goddamn last minute of it. I love you. I love the Bucks. Go Bucks.
I told you these are going to be really, really good. People are just flat out excited about a Bucks win. some sober, some not.
Justin, this is Jorge from the Wing House cross street from the Bucks in West Tampa, baby. And we just fucking did some business right now. We just did the fucking duty call. I don't even know what the fuck I'm saying. I'm like fucking five wild turkeys in. But this was a big win, baby. Fuck them hoes. We don't love them hoes.
Don't worry. Jorge wasn't done.
Hey, Justin, this is Jorge again after my Uber driver dropped me the fuck off. I'd like to say fuck Chris Conti and thank you, Chris Conti.
Perfect.
And fuck fucking Brent Grimes and Miko fucking Grimes. And it's a fucking Bucks win. What are we going to do? It's a Bucks fucking life, baby. No. Woo!
Holy shit. People are pumped up, man. You should be. Listen. Listen. I have said on this podcast for a long time now, and I defend you as Bucks fans. Bucks fans are smart. Okay, you get it. You understand the game of football. When your team beats a bad team, you can get excited to an extent, but it's still like, okay, you really didn't beat anyone, or if you won in ugly fashion. They didn't win in ugly fashion. This game was not an ugly football game today. Okay, just because they didn't get into the end zone against a very good defense, they still made the field goals, they made the plays that needed to be made, and they won the football game. Yeah, you know, I don't know how much time I'm going to be talking on this podcast. I don't know how deep I'm going to be able to get into Jameis Winston. The fucking offensive line was outstanding. I mean, outstanding. They kicked the shit out of the Kansas City Chiefs in this game. They helped Doug Martin get a run game going. That opened up play action pass. Jameis Winston, when he can get the play action pass going, you don't even have to have a dominant run game. You just have to have the threat of handing the ball off, and he's so good in the play action pass game. So many players stood up. Aguayo, as we said, Alteron Verner. I don't know how much time I'm going to have to get into each of them because I want to play all these voice memos, but maybe we'll dive deeper into that in Wednesday's podcast. Lot of people pumped up. Casey's one of them. Casey?
What's going on, Justin? It's Casey out of Atlanta. Great fucking win. Great fucking win. Mike Evans is starting to finally come into his own this season. Less drops. Finally clutch. That 3rd-and-3 catch was fucking clutch. Jameis Winston doing his fucking thing like always. Need to get him some more weapons and this offense will be elite. Elite. Chris Conti, man, I can't really talk too much more shit about Chris Conti, other than he can't cover for shit, but I mean, you coming up with 2 picks in 2 weeks, I can fucking deal with it, okay? I really can. Lavonte David still missing in action. Highlight of the day for him was getting run the fuck over, and I know everybody knows what I'm talking about, so other than that, man, you can't complain about a dub like that. Got Seahawks next week, so let's get it.
Yeah, I think, by the way, Casey, you weren't the only one that pointed out Lavonte David, and we'll have a couple more voice memos singling him and another Buccaneer player out. But to go and play as well as they did as a team and not need their air quote leaders, highest paid players making plays, I think tells you what's growing within the organization and that maybe the highest paid players on the team are not near the most important players on the team anymore. Ross.
Hey, Commissioners. Ross here from Tampa.
Rice.
I don't know what I love more, Bricados or these uncensored podcasts, especially after a great win against a winning team. It was an awesome win, finally beating a team with a winning record, probably the hottest team since week 7 of last year. Looks like we finally turned the corner. We got a coaching staff that knows what they're doing. We do need a little bit more talent to finally get to the playoffs and make a push. I'm really excited to beat Kansas City. It was a huge upset. Nobody expected us to win, which makes it even more amazing. I love your thoughts on seeing how Gerald McCoy and Lavonte David performed. Looks like Lavonte David was missing a lot of tackles. Gerald looked like he was non-existent as usual. Well, I wouldn't say as usual, but he never shows up when it counts. Thoughts?
Thoughts. Well, I think you just asked a question.
Great question, Justin.
I'm tweeting it out.
I don't understand Polish.
But the sweating continued.
Thanks, Jason.
I love being with you and answering all your tough questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great question.
He's going to be still the tallest of an offense that has big, big height on it. Crushed it!
So the question was my thoughts on what did I think about Gerald McCoy and Lavonte David. I think it's good that the Bucks didn't need them to make a play at the end since they had a 9-point lead. Holy shit. Chiefs go down, get a touchdown. So I'm not going to harp on a negative. I'll let you do that. I've made my points. And the good thing is that you're now seeing what I've been seeing. Yeah, it is frustrating because I think you watch some of these other teams around the NFL and they get those big plays at the end from their key players, the guys who are making the most money on their roster, making those key plays to help wins. But that's not where the Bucks are right now. I think the Bucks' most important players are their youngest players who are still on those rookie contracts. And when you start to see Jameis Winston, who, oh, by the way, I don't know if it was the moment that I had been talking about. I'm talking about late in the fourth quarter, time running out, two-minute drill to go down and get a field goal, get a touchdown to win a game. But I'll tell you what, with 6 minutes to go, Chris Conte gets the interception. It's one thing to get the interception, right? Because how often have we seen as Bucks fans get the interception, three and out, and now the Chiefs get the ball back and go down and win the game. The Bucks get the ball, march down the field. You're thinking, all right, they're in field goal range, a field goal. This is how I watch it. Field goal gets it to five, so they've got to get a touchdown. And even if they get a touchdown and go for two and get it, it's still just a three-point game. I mean, I'm already thinking worst-case scenario. I mean, worst-case scenario, I automatically assumed Aguayo was going to make the field goal, which was weird. But then I assumed the Chiefs would go down, get a touchdown, and get a two-point conversion, but that there would still be time left on the clock and the Bucks would only be down by three. But that's how Bucks fans think, and that's not our fault. That's their fault because that's what they've driven into our minds over the years. They didn't settle for a field goal. They went all the way in and got the touchdown, and it was just – I thought Dirk Koetter called a brilliant, brilliant – array of plays today. The game plan was outstanding offensively. Defensively, they played well. I mean, it was really, really good to see. So, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and just harp on Lavonte David and Gerald McCoy. You saw it. You know, if you want to criticize them, go right ahead. I think there's plenty of people that are in your corner right now. But for me, man, I'm pumped up. And it goes back to when the schedule was released, and I'm just sitting there. And I remember doing a podcast, and I had barely looked it over, and I'm just kind of going through and talking about the games. And I said, there it is, that game, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, 4 o'clock against the Seattle Seahawks. They win that game. They're playing meaningful games in December. They lose it. They're not. And here we are. The Bucks are 500. Sunday, 4 o'clock, Seattle Seahawks at home. You know what, I'm not a proponent of telling you what to do or when to do it or how to do it. But this is an opportunity now. And I'll touch on this more on Wednesday's and Saturday's podcast. But perhaps this is a time where we can all unite. Whether you've been a rah-rah fanatic and the Bucks can do no wrong, or whether you've been very critical of them, or whether you've been in between. Whether you like the direction they're going, whether you don't like it, whether you like Koetter or don't, whether you like Jameis or you don't, whether you like Gerald McCoy and Lavonte David or you don't, none of that matters. The Bucks are 5-5. They're 500 right now. They're coming home for the Seattle Seahawks. It's a 4 o'clock game. This is as close to a primetime game as you're going to have the rest of the season, unless they get flexed, which is unlikely. But you've got the Seattle Seahawks in town, you win that game, and you are in the hunt. You are in the playoff hunt and you are playing meaningful games in December. Hasn't happened in a long, long time. There hasn't been a home game that you could walk up to in the last 7 years, this late in the season, where there's playoff. It should be, you know what? It's been such a long time for us. That should be a playoff atmosphere. Not only should we go, and I'm going to go, and I know many other Bucks fans that maybe said earlier this year they weren't going to, they're going. This is important now. And not only go, but it's a 4 o'clock start. Get in your seat for kickoff. Let's make this the atmosphere we want it to be. No, we're not going to intimidate the Seattle Seahawks. We're not. But you know what we could do? We could inspire our own team. We're not looking for the home field advantage to create false starts or get in the heads of the opponents. Seattle's got the best home field advantage in all of sports. So that's they've played in big games. We're not going to get in their heads. That's fine. Let's look to inspire the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's look to inspire a team that has continually come out into their stadium and seen opponent fans or no fans in the stands. You know, they're 500 at this point. They're fighting back. They just won in one of the toughest places in the NFL. I would say that's a relevant win against a good team, something they haven't done in a while. I think you're seeing leadership step up. When we called for it a few weeks ago, we're seeing those leaders step up. It's a different team. It's a different mentality on this team. Maybe it's the good guys getting rid of the bad guys. Maybe it's the winners flushing out the loser mentality. Again, I don't know if you can change the mentality of people, because if they've been losers in the past, can you make them winners? But I'll tell you what, you can overwhelm them. And maybe that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing the leaders and the winners stand up and say, nope, not happening this year again. It's one game. It's a 2-game win streak, but it's one game against one good team. But it's something to rally behind. I don't believe in momentum in the NFL. Next week, it's going to be a completely different story. But you know what? If we can help, if we can go out and inspire our team to play better, then damn it, if there was ever a time to do it, now's probably the time. I know Thomas is excited. Hell, he's calling from AM Sports Talk Radio.
Bucks win. Bucks win at Kansas City. Are you kidding me? All right, so now we got a 2-game winning streak going on. They still got to work on some stuff. But first, let's give Roberto Aguayo a little bit of love. 4-for-4 and the extra point on a day when every kicker in the league is missing their kicks. So good on Roberto. And, man, go Bucks. You got to learn how to finish the drive. That's it. I want to see a little bit more fire from the defensive line. But next week we get Seattle, a real big test. Let's go in the Bucks stadium. Let's win this thing, baby.
I'm with you 110%. I just, come on, Thomas. You're better than that. Better connection. I mean, he literally sounded like he was calling in from a sports talk radio AM signal. So that's all right, Thomas. We know you're trying. Garv is pumped.
Hey, Justin. Fantastic game. Garv in Sarasota. I am so jacked up. The effort those kids made today was just unbelievable. And I'm just going to come out and say it. Jameis Winston's the best quarterback we have ever had in Tampa, clearly. All is forgiven with Mike Evans. The effort every one of those players made today was big, and it presents a huge game next Sunday at home. It's going to be a good crowd. I'm really excited about it. I'm grinning from ear to ear. That was a signature win against a great defense in Arrowhead. An unbelievable effort. Very, very happy, and I'm nailing it with a grin on my face, Justin. See ya.
That's not the first time somebody said that. How about this? the two teams that play inside Raymond James Stadium 2 years ago, abysmal. It was just so hard for both of them. USF, they couldn't score a touchdown in games. They had no shot. The Bucs ended up with the first pick in the NFL draft. 2 years later, USF is 9-2, one of the most electric offenses in the country, with a quarterback who should be getting mentions for the Heisman Trophy. Go ahead and look at some of the names they're mentioning for the Heisman. Now go look at the stats that Quentin Flowers is putting up. You know, when I first started hearing, you know, some people at USF trying to float it, I was like, I don't know. Flowers for Heisman. And I work on the broadcast, and I was like, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves. When you objectively look at the numbers he's putting up compared with some of the other names that are being mentioned, how is Quentin Flowers not being mentioned for the Heisman Trophy? I don't care who you're going up against. I mean, San Diego State's running back is being mentioned. You look at their schedule, they haven't played shit. So how is Quentin Flowers not being mentioned? So that's one side of it. Now look at the Bucs. Number one pick a couple years ago. Now 5-5. Huge game. Massive game. And it's a home game. You know, sometimes it doesn't play out that way. You know, it plays out that you've got another road game or, you know, something doesn't play out the way you want it to. No, it's not only a home game, it's a 4 o'clock home game. It's big. I mean, I don't think you can overestimate the importance of it. And again, Bucks fans are happy. They're happy here. They're happy across the nation. Hell, they're happy in Switzerland.
Justin, it's Dave in Switzerland. We're just over here celebrating a Bucks victory. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the official NFL team of Switzerland, and we're all having a good time. We're drinking. We're having lots of bratwurst and lots of food. We just took care of the chefs, and we're on our way to take care of the Seahawks. I can't wait till next week. Next week's a statement game, and we're all excited over here in the streets of Switzerland. It's a big party. Everybody over in Tampa Bay is invited, and you all need to come over here and celebrate with me. Nobody works. We all party around here, and that's how we do it out here in Switzerland. Be safe, everybody. Have a lot of fun, and go Bucks. Woo!
All right. Let's bring it back to the States, shall we? Let's go to Vegas. I got two guys in Vegas. Both are pumped, especially Craig. Craig?
Hey, Kamish, it's Craig in Vegas. Nice win today. I'm live from Caesar's Palace right now, calling into the Bucks Uncensored podcast on the Las Vegas Strip. Excited, not just because the Bucks won a little money on the game, so that's always helpful as well, too. But what I think I'm most excited about, and I think you can echo it, too, we will have some meaningful games next week at Raymond James Stadium. Even the following week can be a meaningful game as well, too. Got to keep the streak going. Did love the way the offense moved the ball. Would like to have a little more touchdowns. Conte had a nice splash play. I would like to see some more splash plays from 93 and 54. You're making quite a bit of money. Don't want to see you bulldozed over like 54 was in the hole on the Ware run. But anyways, it's great to be a Buccaneer today for this week. We get to be happy all week. We get to eat turkey and all that, knowing that the Bucks have a meaningful game next week at Raymond James Stadium that we can all watch and say, go Bucks. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, Craig. We go from Craig in Vegas to Ryan in Vegas.
Hey, Justin, it's Ryan from Las Vegas. Just got to say, it feels really refreshing to finally beat a good team on the road and feel good about ourselves for once. I think we can look back to that play from Jameis last week where he basically willed it down the field to Evans, and since then, the team's been rolling. Keep up the good stuff, Justin. Love the podcast. Thanks, man.
Excellent point, Ryan. If the Bucks end up doing anything this season, let's say they somehow find a way to beat Seattle. Let's say they fight all the way. Let's say they sneak into the playoffs. Let's just say it. we can point back to that play last week against the Bears where Jameis Winston was running around. We were all thinking the same thing. Throw it away. Throw it away. Don't be an idiot. Don't be an idiot. Oh, my God, you're amazing. I mean, that play, from that point forward, it's been a completely different football team, and they have been fun to watch. Fun to watch. Just because they didn't get into the end zone today doesn't mean, I mean, third down conversions, that drive Jameis Winston had for the touchdown, brilliant. I mean, it was a brilliant drive. It was a great drive on the road in a tough, tough environment. So that wasn't even as, you want to know, the third down pass he had when they were trying to run the clock out and he hit Mike Evans after the Chiefs had used their timeouts, if they don't get that, they punt it to the Chiefs, and the Chiefs have a chance to go down and win the game. But he hits Mike Evans. That's the best throw he's ever made in the NFL. As clutch, that was a moment right there. Was it the moment? I don't know if it was the moment, because I think you can't, was that it? No. It's when the national media takes notice and they say, okay, that was an incredible drive. Now, the touchdown drive was an incredible drive. It wasn't at the very end of the game, and that's why I didn't think it got enough national run. But keep doing that. Keep doing it. Keep winning. You'll get the national recognition that you're seeking. Trust me on that. Let's see. Craig's gone. Dave is gone. Ryan has gone. Ooh, you know what? I've got a tale of two Rommies. It's not the most common name, but they both chimed in. They're not the same person, and they definitely don't have the same opinion. Let's first go to Rami in Kansas City.
What's up, Kamish? This is Rami from Kansas City. What an amazing win. I honestly didn't go to the game because I don't do well with cold weather, and I just didn't think we had a legitimate shot, but damn, I was wrong. Defense held up when they needed to. Chris Conte with the game-changing pick. Jameis was a technician out there. Third down, I mean, how many third downs did he miss? It wasn't that many, maybe only a handful. This might be Jameis's best game I've seen. I don't think he's ever played this well against an upper-tier defense, so that's promising. It seems since last week when he had that scramble play and heave to Mike Evans, it seems the team has been clicking. I don't know if they've all felt inspired or motivated by that play, but whatever it is, it's working. Big game next week against Seattle. It's going to be tough, but I want to say we have a shot, but again, we're playing at home, and you know how we do at home. Good win. Doug Martin did what he had to do. Wasn't an amazing game, but he got the yards when we needed it. And just overall, a good win. We get to go through Thanksgiving now in high spirits, and that's all we needed right now. So go Bucks.
Interesting. That Rami was excited. This Rami, not so much.
Justin, this is Rami. Just watched the Bucks game. I don't know how to take this win. This is a 7-2 team. They had some injuries, but I don't know. I don't know if I should be happy about this I'm happy with the win, but it was an ugly win. But, I mean, the offense was just on cylinders this game. Just couldn't score in the end zone for some reason. But great, great offensive game by Cutter. And I just wanted to see what you think. Thanks, Justin.
Appreciate it. Odd. But, no, it was a good game. It was a good game. Let's just go with that. Let's go with it was good, and we'll move on. Another guy who is pumped but also angry at the same time is Harold.
Kamish, this is Harold from Atlanta. Not quite sure what to say or even how to act. It's been a long time since we've been on a two-game win streak. Jameis was outstanding today. Outstanding. And it really puts perspective on how good Doug Martin is and how much he means to our offense. Yards on the ground weren't great, but just him, the threat of him in the backfield made a huge difference. Sadly, Gerald McCoy didn't do fucking shit yet again. That sorry fuck needs to go now. Thanks again, Kamish. Great as always. Talk to you.
Hey, my pleasure. Appreciate you voicing your displeasure the way you did. Got a few mics. I want to get through them. Now, I want to preface this next one. Did a poll on Twitter because I did not know the proper etiquette. Of course, the name of the podcast is Bucks Uncensored. This next voice memo came in. The person gave their phone number on the voice memo because they want Chris, he wants Chris Conti to call him so that he can take Chris Conti out to dinner. So, of course, I tweeted out a poll that said, what should I do here? Play it unedited, edit out the phone number, don't play it at all, or reevaluate the entire voice memo strategy. Reevaluate was 17%, 8% say don't play it at all. 19% of you are kind individuals who said edit out the phone number. And a whopping 56% said go ahead and play it unedited. It's Bucks Uncensored. Here's Michael in Long Island.
Hey, Justin. Mike from Long Island. Enjoying some 20-degree weather. Hope you guys are enjoying some warmer weather down there. Holy fucking tits in my face. Big old titties. We won. We beat a team with a winning record. I don't even know what to do with myself. I've usually sent in my podcasts, my voice recordings after we've lost. For a change, I'm going to send you one with a win. Holy cock. We just beat the 7-2 Kansas City Chiefs, now in 7-3. We put our dicks on the table. We said, hey, we're not going to take any of your shit, and we're going to win this game. Jameis Winston, one of the best games I've seen, just in terms of staying in there and taking the hits, taking everything he needed to take, completing the passes he needed to complete, absolutely fantastic. And how about this? Chris motherfucking Conti, 2 weeks in a row. I think every Bucks fan wants him off the team. After these last 2 weeks, we probably still want him off the team. But God motherfucking Chris Conti, call me up, 517-680-6117. I'll take you out to dinner. How about your Tampa Bay Buccaneers? They fucking nailed it.
That type of locker room talk makes Donald Trump look G-rated. Okay, Michael? I'll just leave it at that. I warned people we'd have some locker room talk on the show. Mike wants to fly the W.
Justin, they fucking did it.
Yes, they did.
Chiefs had no answer for us on third downs, 11 for 15. Fucking huge one at the end by Mike Evans. Shit, I'm so happy right now. Roberto Aguirre, shout out to you, man. 13 points on the day, 4 for 4 on the field goals, made the extra point. You did your job, man. Kickers are second rounders too, baby. Nah, not going to get ahead of myself, but shit, man. Since we got him, I'm glad he's coming into his own. Chris Conti, the Lord above knows I have talked an outstanding amount of shit about you. And the Lord also knows that you deserved every fucking bit of it. But goddammit, we don't win that game without that pick from you. So good fucking job to Chris Conti these last 2 weeks. Whatever fire got sparked under his ass against the Bears, I hope that guy keeps on playing for us. The same guy that said, fuck you, Chicago, because we need more bad hombres like that in the Bucks locker room. Thanks, Justin. Fly the fucking W.
Nice. Bad hombres. Well, I was going to go to another mic, but I might as well go to Eduardo in Brazil.
Hi, Kamishi. Here's Eduardo from Brazil. And what an impressive win. How about fucking Aguayo? You kidding me? 5 straight kicks, no misses. And about Chris Conti, 2 interceptions in a row. Oh, man, this was wonderful. Go, Bucks. Go, Bucks. That's how we're doing. Seize the day.
Yes, you sound like a bad hombre yourself. Appreciate it, Eduardo. He runs a Bucks website out of Brazil for all you Brazilian Bucks fans down there. Makes me remember a couple of clips I used to use in my old radio.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Ah, yes. And who could forget this classic?
Adios, muchacho.
Exactly. Bust out your hot dogs. Here's Robin.
Hey, Justin, this is Robin. I am so happy. No complaints from me. I'm so happy we won. Went into a difficult place to play against a 7-2 team, and I'm really happy to get the win. Shout out to Kansas City for helping us out with that war chant. I think it probably got Jameis and Roberto feeling right at home, feeling like they were right back in Tallahassee. So thanks, Chiefs fans, for that. And also, shout out to Roberto Aguayo. I mean, the man made everything today, and he deserves some praise. So, you know what? It feels good. Go Bucks.
Roberto. Thank you, Robin. And now let's get to that other mic. He sounds oddly familiar. See who he sounds like to you.
Justin, what an absolutely amazing game today. I'm telling you, this felt to me personally, and I don't want to sound like I'm going overboard with it, but it felt like a playoff game. What the Bucks needed to do today was win against a Kansas City team, as powerful they are with their defense, playing in Kansas City in Arrowhead Stadium, the loudest stadium in the NFL. Absolutely phenomenal with the way the Bucks played. There's a lot of opportunities that the Bucks missed, and there was a lot of spots in the offense and defense that may need to be tweaked a little bit, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm impressed. I actually feel like we have something here. I feel like for the first time in about 8 or 9 years, maybe even longer than that, that we actually have this team gelling to where we're kind of working the kinks out to be in a positive focus moving forward, to where I feel good about being a Bucks fan for the first time since I've been here in Tampa since 2003 after the Super Bowl. It was towards the end, the last 2 minutes of the game. I'm at the edge of my seat, literally sitting on the top of the sofa, screaming at my wife, kids, and dog to shut the F up, only to figure out that they're taking a nap. That's how in tune I was with the game. I couldn't help myself. I had a brain freeze, screaming, yelling after the Bucks victory. To me, this was a tremendous victory. This was what we needed. And I don't know. I can't even talk anymore. I'm excited. I'm besides myself. That's all I got.
Should we rack him? Didn't he sound like Jim Rome? Man.
Good job, Justin. Rack him.
Appreciate that, Jim, chiming in there. All right, so Robin's in, Mike's in. I got a few more. I might save, if you didn't hear your voice memo, I might save it to Wednesday's podcast. Like, Tobias had a really good one comparing Jameis Winston and Dak Prescott. I might save that. I think that's good. Steve, I definitely want to get you in.
Justin,
there.
Great win by the Bucks today. Fucking great. Feels so damn good. And how about our boy, Roberto Aguayo? Fuck yeah. Go Bucks.
Okay. You get that right. Kevin's happy as well.
All right, Justin. Real happy for this win right now. Team fucking won. It's about damn time. How about those Buccaneers beating the Chiefs? Nobody thought we could do it. We fucking did it. Go Jameis.
Short one, but short and sweet is always good. Nate also wants to talk about the Bucks. O-line.
It's Nate from California. First got to say that's probably the first time I felt like I've watched a football game from the Bucks since 2007. Needless to say, I'm a little happy about that. It's been kind of tough to see who I would give the game balls to, because I think this was a complete game from every player we've seen. I mean, Jameis Aguayo was perfect. I mean, he misses one field goal, and that's pretty much ball game, I would think. But I gotta give it to the offensive line, man. With that Kansas City defense and the pass rusher they have in their team, I know they had a few guys hurt, but Jameis wasn't touched all day, and they allowed him to let it loose, and look what the end result was. He was on fire the entire game. He was converting on big-time third downs, made smart plays. Got to give it up to the guys up front. I hope Jameis takes them out to dinner or buys them something nice this week, because they earned it. Go Bucks, baby.
All right, appreciate it. Yeah, I think the offensive line was the difference in this game. I mean, I know Justin Houston was just coming back, but D Ford did nothing, then got injured. Donovan Smith and Tamar Dotson, who I've been very critical of, played their best games of the year. But Caleb Benenach, by the way, didn't start the game. Gottschalk was in, if that even how you pronounce his name, but he was in. He got injured because Benenach was so bad last week. Benenach stepped in, and I zeroed in on him a few times. Dude played a good game. Very, very impressed with his ability to step in and rebound after last week, not getting the start this week, and then having to be thrust back into the lineup. He was not overmatched. He stood his ground and actually was very important in some of those key runs late in the game. So congrats to Caleb Benenach. He's going to really enjoy, I think, watching the film this week. And Ali Marpet, just all the guys across the board. Really solid performance by the offensive line when they needed them to have a solid performance most. If that offensive line plays like that each and every week, they're going to have a chance to win each and every week, because you give Jameis Winston time and he's proven that he can really, really take advantage of a defense. I'm still all in on weapons for Winston. Yeah, Cecil Short stepped up and you got Adam Humphries and Cameron Brate, but you can really, really start surrounding him with some quality. And Rodney Harrison called it out on NBC. I didn't see it myself, but I saw people tweeting about how, and it's good that the national media has taken note to this. Jameis has one top-notch receiver to throw to. He doesn't really have a secondary option, and, you know, for him to elevate the play of the guys around him, whether it's Russell Shepard or Cecil Shorts or Adam Humphries or Cameron Brate or whomever, is a testament to Jameis Winston, and it was a testament to the offensive line today. So you start to imagine what the offense could be with some of the weapons some of these other quarterbacks around the NFL have, and we could be in for some exciting times, hopefully, with the Bucs offense and Jameis Winston being so young, as we mentioned earlier on in the podcast. I might just get one more voice memo in, and then just kind of revisit some of the voice memos we didn't get to, along with diving a little deeper on some of these topics for Wednesday's podcast. But Damon, let's get you on.
Thank you, Lord. The Bucs won two back-to-back. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Yes. I mean, you know how weird this feeling is, just watching my team winning constantly and I'm feeling good? Like, I'm usually mad around this time. I can't even be mad, Commish. Like, I can't even be mad at nothing right now. Gerald McCoy ain't get hurt. Doug Martin ain't get hurt. I mean, Mike Evans looking good, like Adam Humphries, Brate, Jameis Winston doing his thing. Roberto Aguayo, I'm talking about he legging them kicks. I ain't even gonna lie, he doing his thing. Man, the Bucks coming up, man. This the turnaround you was talking about, Commission. This is what you were saying right here. We needed these two. Now we can go in Seattle, or Seattle can come home, man. We got really something to fight for. Even though all these games are must win, we got something to fight for now. Bucks got to fight, man. Go Bucks. I love the podcast. I tune in 3 times a week. Keep doing your work.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you being one of the many. And the podcast continues to grow. If you're a Bucks fan, man, I love when you Bucks fans send in the voice memos. This is a podcast for me with Joe Bucks fan, but it's for you as well. And, you know, I'd love to just create this community of Bucks fans where you can vent together, you can bitch together, you can celebrate together, and hopefully we're doing a lot more celebrating moving forward. But I think we're creating a nice little cult following. Where we're just, hey, this is just us, man. We're like a group of Bucks fans within a much bigger group of Bucks fans. And, it's that point in the podcast where I start to ramble for no reason because I'm really tired because I listened to voice memos for 2 hours before I even started this now hour-long podcast. Love what we saw from the Bucks on Sunday. They beat a good team on the road in one of the toughest environments in the NFL. Sunday's game at home, 4 o'clock start, is the most relevant home game the Bucs have had this late in the season, probably since John Gruden was head coach. I mean, we could dive in and try and make sense of maybe some of the other coaches over the years, but quite frankly, this is the first sense of hope. And I had somebody ask, you know, should I be willing to go all in? I kind of ride that roller coaster myself, but I always find myself coming back. I'm always willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. And you know what? I might be sitting here 1 week from right now with a completely different attitude because I'm going to be let down. And I think that's why you like the podcast. I'm giving you my real reaction, okay? I'm pumped right now. I'm all in. I'm getting excited. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in my seat early. I'm going to make sure that I'm doing my part to help inspire the players on my team and create some sort of a home field advantage for my team. I hope that you're going to do the same. If you're in Tampa, if you can make it to the game, you know, we haven't had a lot to be excited about. Why don't we just treat it like we should be excited about it? And then what if we get a good result? I think you go in hoping that you can get a good result, not knowing you're going to get a good result. We're not there yet. But I think the only thing that I don't want to see is just Seattle come in and dominate the Bucks. Because, again, that would be building our hopes up and then just slamming us back to the ground. If the Bucks can hold their own, stand toe-to-toe against the Seattle Seahawks, I don't want to say whether it's win or loss or whatever, but I think, again, Bucks fans are pretty smart. They'll get it. You know, if Seattle wins, but the Bucks are there and they fight them tooth and nail all the way to the end of the game, it's going to be, I think we're all going to look around and say, okay, I see where this is heading. But if you just get beat down again, at home again, after building our hopes up just a little bit, I think that could actually drive fans away more than just getting beat every week, to be quite honest. Because you start to just lose hope. Like, what's the point in gaining the hope when I'm just going to lose the hope? And so people just start to check out. And that's going to be even harder to win those fans back. Next week's game is very, very relevant for a variety of reasons. It's relevant for this season. It's relevant for playoffs this season. But I think even more so, it's relevant to really gain back the fan base. You're going to have an opportunity. You're going to have a lot of fans. I think at the game, I really anticipate the crowd to be very strong. I think you're going to have the interest of the city at hand. You got a chance to be above 500 heading into December. I haven't done the math, but I'm guessing it's been a long time since that's happened. I would. It's in the Bucks organization's hands now. You go out and you play well. You've got a chance to really gain back a lot of fans who may have left. You go out and you get trounced, you're going to drive them away, and it's going to be even harder to win them back. I hate to put that all in one game, but you and I both know that that's how fans operate. That's how human beings operate. We've got a week now to soak it all in. I don't know about you, but I'm allowing myself to be fired up this week. I'm allowing myself to get excited this week. I'm allowing myself to go all in this week. I just hope by the end of the first quarter on Sunday against the Seahawks, I'm not regretting that, because that's typically how it's happened with this organization over the last 7 years. I'm Justin Pawlowski. This has been Bucks Uncensored. It's three times a week, folks, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. First thing in the morning, you want to be the first one to hear the latest episode, go to joebucksfan.com. Or you can subscribe on iTunes, Podcast Addict, or Podbean, and that podcast posts Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturday afternoons on those outlets for you directly to your phone, so you have that there. So either first thing in the morning at joebucksfan.com or subscribe and get it a little later on those afternoons. Continue shooting me your voice memos. You know, start diving into some topics. I think everyone was very excited after the win on Sunday, but specifically, who are the players you think are starting to, other than Jameis Winston, are starting to take over this team? Do you feel there are certain players? Am I out of line? Do you think it's just the team coming together? I think it's hard to just say, oh, we've got a losing culture, and then 2 weeks later, oh, everything's good. I firmly believe there are certain winners, winning personalities in that locker room that are stepping up, Jameis, along with others. I'd love to hear what you think about that. And continuing to evaluate the roster. I do think that, hey, you want to continue to play for now, but you also have to have your eyes on the big picture and continuing to build a young team that you feel will ultimately, hopefully, make several runs at the playoffs and eventually win a Super Bowl. I mean, the ultimate goal is to build a Super Bowl caliber team that can do it on a yearly basis. Do they have the young pieces in place? Well, I think the next six games of this season will continue to tell us a lot. I said that at the halfway point. I said the next eight games, it's going to be an evaluation process. They're 2-0 in those first two games of the eight. I'm okay with those odds. I'm okay with that record so far. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at Commish Online, Facebook.com/Commish Online. And as always, on this podcast, we never fall short. We always nail it.